The following program's views, claims, and/or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join with us. And we've got our telephone line open at 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you today. And let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that something we talk about would be a blessing and encouragement to somebody. And we just pray that we could point that person that's struggling with whether or not the Bible is reliable or true. Maybe something that we talk about, you can use that to help them to understand and realize that the Bible is a reliable book and that it contains truth. And most importantly of all, it contains the truth of the gospel message, and that it contains the true fact that Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross where he suffered and died in our place and shed his blood to pay for our sins. We'll simply confess our sin and believe that Jesus Christ died in our place, paid for our sin, rose from the grave victorious over sin and death. We can have that forgiveness of sin if we'll only ask. Thank you for that promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless now, we pray, and use this program for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be on the air today, and it's still a little bit of winter time here in Northeast Ohio. If you're out there, I noticed they were salting the roads. They put that liquid de-icer down on the way up. It was snowing in spots, but hopefully it won't be too bad today. They say it's not supposed to snow much until tomorrow, but just be careful driving around out there. And, talking about the weather, if you're a doomsday person, I guess you're probably more worried about a little snow coming down on your head today after the news this morning about that meteor that streaked across part of Russia and exploded. I don't know if you've seen any of the video on that, but it came in and real bright and just lit up the area, and it came in faster than the speed of sound. Part of the things that you heard was the sonic boom. And it looked like it might have exploded portions of it off, and they even had a hole or impact crater where it was a good 6 feet or so across, I think, at least the one I saw. But the real damage was shattered glass all over the area where it came through, and literally hundreds of people were injured due to flying glass. Saw some videos from some security cameras where when it went through, a bright light, and then all of a sudden just shards of glass spraying the people in the room, and hospitals had numbers of people show up. There's even some people, I guess, in fairly serious condition because of the cuts and things from the flying glass. And it just happened so fast that many people didn't know what was happening. One woman said that she thought it was doomsday. She said it was like a scene from the movie Armageddon, where the meteors come streaking down. And, this was just one meteor. Of course, it was. It really got people's attention because we're expecting a flyby of an asteroid here this afternoon, probably in about another hour or so, I think, is when it's supposed to go by. And this particular one is going by quite close to the Earth. I mean, it's going to be within the range of the communication satellites that we have up there, but not quite as far in as the orbit of the global positioning satellites. So I guess your GPS could survive, but your satellite phone or your iPhone might lose its telephone ability, or you might lose your TV if you have satellite TV. But it's coming within 18,000 miles of the surface of the Earth, and that's really pretty close. And, you know, it's there was some concern that it was going to hit. Just like last month, there was an asteroid by the name of Apophis. And Apophis is rather interesting because if you look in the Bible, you can find the word Apophis. And that word for Apophis is in Revelation chapter 8. And, I'm getting close to it here. It comes out, I'm gonna backtrack on myself here because I can't get my computer to come up, but it's been nicknamed Wormwood, and because it's very similar to a word that occurs in Revelation chapter 8 describing Wormwood. And let's see here. My computer's not going to cooperate, so I'm not going to get that for you right now. But it's been nicknamed the Doomsday satellite or the Doomsday asteroid because it was predicted to come very close. It didn't come as close last month as the one today is supposed to come. It passed a little over 22,000 miles, I think, away or something like that, but it's going to come back again in April of 2009, and it's going to pass within 22,364 miles of the Earth. Now, these distances are kind of hard to imagine, but they are within the range of our satellites that we have up there in space station, things of that nature, very close. So they do pose a threat some of the satellites if they happen to be in the wrong place as it comes through, just like the one today. But so far, NASA and different agencies are saying there's no threat of impact, but certainly with the meteor coming down across Russia this morning, it really made people worry and that this could be the beginning of something. But apparently, the meteor this morning was not really connected with the asteroid that's going by today. But these things do make you start wondering about prophecy and about the Bible and about the book of Revelation, because as I said in the book of Revelation, we do have several occasions. We have stars falling from the sky, and then we have a wormwood coming down from the sky, and different things like that that wreak havoc on the earth. And the one going by today, I guess, is about half the size of a football field or something like that. And it estimated it would take out the city of London if it were to hit London. Apophis, when it came by back in January, they estimated that if it hit the Earth, it would have an impact of a 500 megaton nuclear bomb going off. And so it doesn't take much with these things. You got to remember, they may not be exceptionally huge, but it's the force that's generated because of the speed at which they're traveling. And it doesn't even take the direct hit, as evidenced by this meteor that struck down in Russia today. Just the passage of it through the sky, the sonic boom and the shock wave that it set off that shattered glass for miles around and injured hundreds of people. For a Bible-believing Christian, though, we don't need to worry. We don't need to be overcome with fear and wondering, is this the end of the world are terrible, dire things going to happen to us? Because we need to realize that as Christians, we're in God's hands. And Paul had written because some Christians in his day had become concerned, and he wrote a letter to those in Thessalonica, and they were concerned that perhaps the those that had died would miss the return of Christ. They would be dead. And so he assured them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, This was settling them on those that had died previously, and would they miss the Lord's coming, and would they miss heaven, and some of these things. They were concerned. Now, that allayed their fears, but then greater fear came in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is another letter that Paul had to write to the Thessalonians again. Of course, God inspired him with these letters. And this letter was written now because the believers were afraid that they might miss they might have missed the return of Christ. And they were worried that they might have to go through the judgments Jesus talked about, and judgments that later were revealed by John in the book of Revelation. And they wrote this, Paul wrote this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he said, starting in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye," and he's reminding them that we're going to be caught up to be with him in the air, as he recorded over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, if we'd have kept reading there. And he says this, he says, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, what he's telling us there is that as believers, we don't need to worry that we've missed the rapture and that doomsday is at hand. And you just like the woman in Russia who thought it was doomsday when this thing streaked across the sky and exploded and the glass shattered in her windows and everything. We don't need to fear that doomsday is at hand. I've kind of told people tongue-in-cheek on occasion, somebody say, "Well, how long before you think the world will be destroyed?" And I always kind of say, well, at least 1,007 years. Because as long as, Bible-believing Christians are still here, the rapture hasn't taken place yet. And the seven-year tribulation period cannot take place until after the rapture takes place. Now, it won't commence with the beginning of the rapture. It begins with the revelation of the Antichrist when he signs a covenant with the Jewish people. And that's a seven-year covenant. We read about that in Daniel chapter 9. And then after that 7 years, Jesus returns to the earth and sets foot on the Mount of Olives. And we return with him. We'll have been in heaven, and then we return with him. And at the end of that 7 years, when Jesus returns, he will then set up the 1,000-year, the millennial reign of Christ over the earth. And, of course, we read a lot about that in Revelation chapter 20. And somebody once asked me, how do you know that 1,000 years is literal? And I said, well, as you read through Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is called the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled." And then later on, or the next verse, that was verse 3, so we see 1,000 years in verse 2, 1,000 years in verse 3, verse 4, at the end of verse 4, it says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, Then in verse 5, we read, "But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished." And then in verse 6, at the end of verse, we read, "They shall be the priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then in verse 7, we read, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." I kind of get the impression that 1,000 years seems important enough that it was repeated in verses 2 through 7 there, actually in every verse. So God seems to have meant 1,000 years. And that's where we get the thousand-year reign of Christ. And at the end of the thousand years, of course, as we read there in Revelation 20 and verse number 7, the devil's released out of the prison where he's been bound for that thousand years, and he stirs up one last attempt to unseat the Lord, and his final attempt is put down, and God casts him into the bottomless pit into the lake of fire for all eternity, and then we have the great white throne judgment, and then from there we go into eternity in the future. So we have the thousand-year reign of Christ, we have the seven-year reign of the Antichrist, or period of the tribulation. So all of that takes place after the rapture. And since Paul reassured them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the rapture had not occurred yet because the Antichrist wasn't around, we have assurance that there's at least 1,007 years to go. Doomsday isn't quite yet. And of course, the Bible says that after the great white throne judgment and during that time and all, after the millennial reign of Christ, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And we've talked about this previous program. The current heaven, the current earth are destroyed. They're burnt up in a fervent heat. And we have the new heaven and the new earth, and then the new Jerusalem, where we'll dwell for all eternity. Now, these things are important to understand because God put them in the Bible. And we've had some back and forth on our Sunday evening program. We were on, of course, Sunday nights for an hour, 11 o'clock until midnight on Sunday nights, and right here on this radio station. And we've had some back and forth going, and some people seem to think that the events of Revelation have already occurred. Some people seem to think that the Antichrist has already been here. Some people seem to think that the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet has already taken place. And let me just give you a little calendar here that God gives us in Daniel chapter number 9. In Daniel chapter number 9, he makes known to Daniel, starting in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, as you read through this, and as you study biblical prophecies and in history, you realize that the 70 weeks, they're weeks of years. And so 70 weeks, that's 490 days. And each day represents a year. So you got 490 years. And I'm not going to get bogged down on too many of these numbers here. But the idea is the 70 weeks prophecy, or this period of 490 years, was going to accomplish certain things. And one of the things, it was going to finish the transgression. It was going to make an end of sins. It was going to make reconciliation for iniquity. It's going to bring in everlasting righteousness, and it's going to seal up the vision of the prophecy and anoint the most holy. So things are going to happen. The most holy, of course, that's Christ. It's going to be anointed as a result of this 70-week period or vision. And also all the problem with sin and rebellion and all of that and iniquity in the world is all going to be wrapped up. The judgment for that's going to be taken care of, and all the prophecies in the Bible are going to be sealed and finished. And that means that we're going to see the end, meaning the eternity in the future. So all the events to then are going to take place. And he says in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times." And that, of course, goes from command to rebuild the wall until Messiah the Prince comes in. Well, in a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating next month, we're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday. And we recognize that as the anniversary of the time that Jesus came. He presented himself as the Messiah, the Prince. And if you don't read that closely in verse 25, you miss that it says the Messiah, the Prince. And not just any Messiah, not a false Messiah, but the Messiah, the true Messiah, the Christ, the Prince. That's Jesus Christ. And he comes. And then, of course, remarking that the street and the wall were built in troublous times, which refers back to when the Jews came out of the Babylonian captivity and they rebuilt the wall. If you remember back in Nehemiah, they built with a sword in one hand and a shovel or tool in the other hand, a weapon in one hand, tool in the other hand, and because people were threatening to attack them. But the wall was built, the streets were built, Messiah came, and he was presented. But verse 26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and under the end of the war desolations are determined." So after he's presented as Messiah, he'd be cut off, but not for himself. Jesus was cut off. He wasn't crucified for himself, for his own sin. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. He was cut off for us. He was sacrificed for us. He gave himself for us. He took our sins upon himself. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Well, that's the Romans. And under Titus, they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. And that's what Jesus prophesied of there in Matthew 24, that no stone be left unturned. And so the temple would be destroyed. And then when we get down into verse 27, talking about the prince, not the Messiah, the prince of the people that destroyed the city and the sanctuary, he says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." So after the temple is destroyed, there's an interlude. We're in that interlude right now. And that 70-week prophecy will pick up again after the rapture. And then after the rapture, the prince of the people that destroy, I don't believe that the Antichrist will come out of Iran or something like that. He'll come out of somehow out of the Roman Empire, the remnants of the Roman Empire. He will confirm a covenant for 7 years. That's the 1 week. And in the midst of that, 3.5 years into that, he causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now, did you catch that? The sanctuary, the temple, was destroyed previously. And then it's rebuilt so that he can again, so that he can cause it to cause them to stop the sacrifices and oblations in the temple there in 3.5 years into the tribulation period. And, you know, just kind of got a few minutes left here as we wrap up. We can see there's three temples very clearly. There's the first temple that was destroyed. It's rebuilt when they came back from the Babylonian captivity. The second temple is destroyed, which happened in year 70. And then somebody arising out of the revived Roman Empire, remnant of the Roman Empire, goes into the temple and stops the sacrifices that are taking place in the third temple. Well, the third temple doesn't exist yet. Has to be built. And that's what Paul reminded them of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is that the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, would go in and into the temple in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, and so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this is what the Bible says, and every prophecy the Bible has made to date has come to pass exactly as prophesied, and there's no reason to believe that these final prophecies won't as well. And you can be sure that you'll be caught up to heaven to be with the Lord in that event we call the rapture, if you'll simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You can't get there by your church membership. He's not going to call a church membership roll. He's only going to call for those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. If you've done that, you'll be there in the clouds, and then we'll meet with him in the air. If you haven't done that, then you're going to be here as those events are taking place on earth. Well, we're out of time. Join us again next week. Join us Sunday night as well. God bless. Have a great day.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications. This is my